Welcome to the June 1st sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 through 29, and the sermon is entitled, Grace as Our Guide, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
Grab your Bibles, go to the Galatians chapter number 3 as we're going to wrap that up today. And I don't know where you are or what you're dealing with or what you're going through. The message of God's word is this, is He is faithful and true. And He will hold you fast. And my prayer is that your faith in Him will grow through those trials and grow through where you are and grow through those things that you are working through. And I'm grateful for that. Today, as we talk a little bit deeper about that, about grace being our guide, if you look at the book of Galatians, you will see the gospel there. But you all will also see that grace is a dominating point of this book, and the grace of God and how we need that, each of us need that in our life. We are finishing up a tough chapter, and we will go in next week into another tough chapter. Many people skipping chapters 3 and 4 of Galatians to go to the easier things to preach about. But these are tough things. They have challenged me, and I pray that they have challenged us together as the church. Now remember, Galatia and the churches that are there, he is trying to unite the people of Galatia around the idea that God's grace is enough. Jesus Christ is enough. And they have gone back to the ways of the law. They have had that influence in the church, and they have turned back to that. And so it is frustrated Paul to the point that he has said, I can't believe that you have left Jesus so quickly and you have turned back to the law and what you were rescued from or redeemed from. And so today, as we wind up chapter number 3, we understand that the law poses an issue there. As they turn back to it, they are turning back to something that is not fully of God. Paul, remember, and through his background, many of you know his story of being changed, but he is living proof of the power of God. That you, if you are saved today, if you are here and you are saved today, your life should be living proof of the power of God. And as others gaze upon you and others see you and others hear you, they should hear somewhere in those talkings and conversations of God's grace and God's power to save us. And so today, when we think about grace leading our lives, our grace being our guide, you've got to remember what grace is. It is what God gives us. It is a gift of His favor despite how sinful we are. We are undeserving of His grace. And it couples or tag teams with His mercy, which is the punishment for sin that we do deserve, that He holds back from us. So by God's grace and through His mercy, He can change our lives. They work hand in hand. But maybe today you're here. And maybe you've had a moment in your life where you've been delayed by some reason. Maybe it's your own doing, maybe it's your wife's doing or your husband's doing or your children's doing, and you've been delayed for some reason. There's one thing that Jeffrey cannot stand is driving down a two-lane road behind a car that's going way below the speed limit. That challenges me on so many levels. I did it yesterday. That's why I use it as an example. But it's amazing how in life God puts those things in our lives to slow us down for some particular reason. And maybe one day when I get up there, the Lord will peel back and say, Jeffrey, this is the reason I slowed you down on 60. Because up ahead could have been something far worse than driving a little slower than the speed limit. God's grace intervenes and is intertwined throughout our lives. And I want you to know, the Galatians, though we may be late for an appointment or miss an appointment, here's the truth. The Galatian people have an appointment with God today in Scripture. And in the reality of what His grace does for them is very clear. And so as we think about grace being our guide, let's go to Galatians chapter number 3, verse number 23 is where we are starting today. Verses 23 through 25. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. So point number one today about grace being our guide is this: grace sets us free. Grace sets us free. The grace of God sets all of us free. Have you ever been somewhere and you've had to ask for help or ask for a guide? And sometimes I don't like doing that, but maybe it could be a park or a historical place, maybe a fishing or hunting trip that you go on. Somebody shares their knowledge, their wealth of knowledge with you, and then for a moment you need it, and then you no longer need that anymore. So the next time you go to the historical place, you already know the story, and you can share that with somebody else. Or next time you go fishing, you know where that trout hole is where you need to go because somebody showed you there. Well, somebody had to point it out to you. And that's exactly what Paul is trying to do today to the Galatians. He's trying to point out this is what you need to do, and this is how you need to face faith in your future. Not by obeying a strict rule or set of laws, but you need to do it through faith every single day. Paul says, before we had Jesus, before faith, we had been kept under the law. And those words that are used here in the King James are shut up. They mean that they were captive. And those are hard words to read in what the law does to man. It shuts you up. It limits you. You are held captive by the law. You are confined. But here's the reality. The law did, in a way, even though it confined, it protected. And so, it showed a person how good God was and how bad they were. So in the eyes of God, it showed that how good he is, but how bad and sinful human beings are. But it could do nothing more than this: show right from wrong. Show right from wrong. And so verse number 24 is a key part of Paul's argument. He says this: wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The purpose of the law, the purpose of the Old Testament, is to point to Jesus Christ, someone that is far greater than the law. The law was served as a tutor, as a schoolmaster, as a guide that brings you to see that you cannot keep every word and every word of the law. You could not keep it. But what it did then was to show you needed something else. Or may I rephrase that and say this: you need someone else. And that someone is none other than Jesus Christ. And so today, I'm not sitting here saying that don't read your Old Testament. No, there are truths of God in the Old Testament that we glean and that we need to know and that we need to live our lives by. But that Old Testament points you to Jesus. A little book of Jonah and the big fish on Wednesday night has shown a congregation Jesus clearer than I have ever seen him. I thought the book of Jonah was about a big whale. It's not. It's about how much each one of us need an almighty God to lead our lives. And so today, don't look at your Old Testament and say, I don't need to read that. There are people that will tell you that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying as you read that Old Testament, it will point you to someone greater, and that is Jesus Christ, and you must put your faith in him. Paul's argument, as he starts out about grace and faith leading your life, is simply this: you are no longer kept under or restrained or bound by the law. The law should show you your need for Jesus, and by faith, you need to follow him. I know this is hard stuff, church, but it's truth. You cannot live your life by a set of rules, thinking you can be good enough because you are not. I am not. The only way that we can move forward in our faith, that we understand the promise of an eternity in heaven, is simply this: by faith in Jesus Christ. And so today, don't sit here and say, I've got to follow all these rules. No, Christianity isn't about rules. Christianity is about Jesus and being obedient to his calling on your life. So, with grace being our guide, I want you to see the language here that as we are in verse number 25, but after that the faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. So you're no longer under the law, which served as your tutor or your teacher. You're no longer under that because you've been set free by faith. Today, if you live your Christian life feeling as if I mess up one time or if I don't follow these sets of rules, God is going to be angry at me. That could be true in some stances of faith or some opportunities that happen. But here's the reality. You should not live your life afraid of God because you have been set free through Jesus Christ and the faith that you placed in him. And so today, here's what I want you to understand. There is a freedom that comes with knowing Jesus, and my prayer is that you have that freedom through Jesus Christ. Point number two, look at verses 26 and 27. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Point number two is this: grace gives us identity. God's grace gives us identity. There are many things that guide our identity. I've got a little nephew, and when I asked my little nephew about what his name is, trying to get him to say his name, I just said, "Who are you and what is your name?" And he'll answer, he'll give me his full name when I ask him that question, and it just tickles our heart to hear that. Who are you? I'm going to ask my church family that today. Who are you? So much of our identity is rooted in our names. I am Jeffrey Campbell, but here's what I want you to know about Jeffrey Campbell. There are five other Jeffrey Campbells in Amherst County. So when you ask me who you are, Jeffrey Campbell doesn't solve who I really am because there's five other people that share the name. You are more than a name. You are more than your name. So your identity is more than who you are and more than your name. But maybe you think my identity is a number. Yeah, I know that we are identified by a number that everybody tries to steal. They want that Social Security number, right? And that number will track you and stay with you for your lifetime. I remembered it when I was in ninth grade as part of an assignment. I still remember it today. And guess what? That is how the government identifies me. But here's what I want you to know, church. A government does not know my identity. They may know my number, but they don't know who I am. Amen? So sometimes it could be a name. Sometimes it could be a number. Sometimes it could be an address. Where do you live? You know, I live across the road. I live over here. That's where somebody knows you. That's where you get your packages. That's where Amazon shows up. The UPS driver comes by the office and says, "I don't have to stop at your house today." And I say, "Praise the Lord." But he knows me by where I live. But even where I live, even in this great country of the United States of America, which I'm so thankful to be a part of, that is not my identity. I am proud to be an American, but I'm more than American because I am a child of God. The greatest form of identity we read in these two verses: for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. The greatest form of identity that many of us in this room share is to be called a child of God, a child of the King. And how do you get that title? You don't get that title just by coming to church. You can't call yourself a child of God just because you attend Clifford Baptist Church. You can't call yourself a child of God because of your name and because of your parents and your grandparents. You can't do that. You can't call yourself a child of God just because you think you're number one. You can only call yourself a child of God if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. By then and then only are you a child of God. And so today, family, I'm not pointing fingers at you. Here's what I want you to understand. The churches in Galatia, they were thinking like all of us are children of God. And what Paul is saying is, no, you're not acting like a child of God because you're going back to the Mosaic law and what Jesus Christ freed you from. So are you a child of God? Or are you a child of the law? There's a difference. That schoolmaster, that law had set them free. But here's the reality. In the biblical times, if you did not obey these laws to a T, you were not identified as a child of God. Many of you have read the Old Testament, and you know it is impossible to keep every law. And here is the reality. The law doesn't make you a child of God. Only faith can. I've got to be careful today, because I know in a room this size, the likelihood of everybody being a child of God, the reality of it, everybody probably isn't. And so what unites us? Where is our identity? Man, I'm proud to be a Campbell. I'm still at 43 years old referred to as Cowboy Campbell's grandson. He's been dead for 10 years. But that's how somebody knows who I am. Oh, you're that pastor up at the church now. You're the new guy. 3 years, is that still new? I guess so. You're one of the twins. Yeah, I've got a twin brother. All of these are identifications to who I am. But the greatest form of identity for me is that I am a child of God. And the Bible clearly tells us here, and please, I want you to circle or star verse number 26. For ye all are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. How do you become a child of God? It tells you in verse number 26, simply by faith in Jesus Christ. That's how you become a child of God. And so now, the hard part in Paul talking to the Galatians, as he is saying that, you are a child of God. Quit living your life by the law. Quit following it to a T. It's not a matter of circumcision. It's not a matter of feast. It's not a matter of any action or work other than faith in Jesus Christ. I look at my church family today, and I've got two questions as I wind down this sermon. And the first question starts here. Are you a child of God? Not in your own mind, not in your own reason, not in your own thinking. Are you a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ? That's the first question of our day. But here's the other question. If someone looks at your life, how are they going to identify you? Or one day when you stand before the Lord, how will He identify you? Paul's greatest defense, his greatest argument to the church, to the people of Galatia, to the churches there, is this. Verse number 26, you've got to have faith in Jesus Christ. But look at verse number 27. He says, for as many of you as have put, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Verse number 27, Paul says, you are children of God by faith in verse number 26, but you have been baptized in Christ, putting on Christ. The picture of baptism is used for those who put their faith in Jesus Christ. They are baptized into Him. The water, listen to me here, the water doesn't save you. It is a picture. It is used as a picture here. This is not saying if you are baptized, you are saved. That's not what that is saying. Let's look at it again. Verse number 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ. There are the key words, into Christ. Verse number 27 says, you have put on Christ. And baptism is the picture. So today, when we read these two verses and put them together, the picture of baptism, is used as people put their faith in Jesus. They are baptized into Christ. As the water does not save them, Jesus has made an impact and changed their life. and they have become a new creature. The picture here is there is a newness that has happened in these believers' life. Yes, baptism is a biblical step after receiving Jesus, but water baptism cannot save you. Only baptism in Christ saves you. I'm going to say that one more time. Water baptism does not save you. Only baptism into Christ does. And so when you walk, or when we have walked in that water, we know that Christ has already done the work. Put on. Verse number 27 says this, that you are baptized in Christ, but you have put on Christ. Those words have rung out in my mind for years. When I get ready, when I get dressed every single morning, I put on the outer garments and I want to look nice. I want to look presentable. I want you to know that. Sometimes Terry helps me do that, but I want to look presentable. But here's the most important thing that you and I as believers put on every single day. Jesus. It is what we wear when we walk into a world that needs Him. It is Jesus. The picture of the old man dying, the new man living, the old clothes gone, the new ones are ready. Christ in me has been put on. Jesus becomes our identity. So today, as we think about our identity and what it is rooted in, if it's rooted in something other than Jesus, that must change. There's one more point. Look at verses 28 and 29. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We got back to Abraham. We've talked about him a little bit in the past couple of sermons. We'll talk about him a little bit more heading into chapter number 4. But point number 3 today is grace unites us. I know unity has been a subject in a couple of messages here recently on Wednesday night teaching. And even there are some books left in the airlock. If you have not gotten a book on unity, it's red and white. Make sure to pick one up before you get your donut on the way out, okay? Read it while you eat your donut. How about that? But here's what you need to know. This early church was made up of believers from different backgrounds. And I look across this church today and I say, oh, we're fortunate. We've got a church that everybody is from the same background. No, we do not. How many of you were born in the South? Raise your hand. How many of you were born in the North? Look at that. We ain't the same. We have different backgrounds. I'm not going to say anything else, but I'm glad y'all were down here. That's all I'm going to say. But here's what Paul was dealing with. He was dealing with churches that had differing backgrounds, and they were trying to figure out who exactly they were and what they were going to believe. I look at my home denomination, the Methodist Church. They are still trying to answer that question. Who are we and what are we going to believe? I look at churches around us and they are splitting because they don't know who they are and they don't know what they believe. And so today, even though we are different and even though we may not always agree on all the lesser issues, we must be in agreement on the main issues. But here is what Paul says in verse number 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And here is what Paul is trying to say, that you must be united as the church, as the people of God. What the law did, The law looked at those outside of Israel, and they were condemned because they were not part of Israel. They were outside of that nation. And so the law condemned those people. The law gave those people no chance because they were outside of it. And what Paul says as he looked down on these churches is that no one person is superior over another. There was a popular prayer in the day of the Pharisee that this was the Pharisee's prayer in the church. I thank God that I am a Jew, not a Gentile, a man, not a woman, free man, not a slave. Now, what would you do if you heard a religious man say that? That was the heart of Israel. That was the heart of the religious leaders of Israel. But through Christ, all of these divisions are removed, and our identity supersedes everything that we are because it is Christ. But I want you to know, in our church today, we still draw lines of division. We draw boundaries over denomination. I want you to know that Baptists will not be the only ones that make it to heaven. It breaks my heart to say that, but I don't want to say that. There's going to be some outside of our denomination there. There are going to be some believers that are from the Methodist background that are there because I grew up with some of those people. And they were believers. There are going to be some believers outside of our denomination. But we draw the lines. If you're not with us, then you're against us. God help us. We draw political divisions. And I want you to know that Republicans aren't the only ones that are going to make it to heaven. There will be some Republicans that bust hell wide open. Democrats aren't the only ones going to make it to heaven. Independent, whatever, they're not the only ones. And there's some people that are so politically divided that you can't love your brother and sister. You can't love somebody to Jesus if you hate them politically. So we draw those lines. We draw racial lines. In America, we have the black and white church. What are we thinking? Because there's no black or white or Chinese, Asian. There's no heaven separation by the color of our skin or the origin in which we are from. But we have a black and white church. Why? Because of our history. And we cannot let it go. And that's what Paul is saying. You've got a history with the law and you won't let it go. One other line of division is men and women. And I want to be careful because probably you're sitting there saying, what is Pastor Jeffrey going to say here, right? As this verse that Paul uses says, there is neither male nor female. Here's what I want you to know. That doesn't mean we are equal in our roles. That doesn't mean that we can switch our roles. I believe there are differing roles in the church, but we are on equal standing before a holy God. There's where I stand. And so what I want you to know, here is the ultimatum that Paul is putting down. When you stand before God, there's not going to be a Jew or a Greek. When you stand before God, there's not going to be a free man and a slave. When you stand before God, there's not going to be a man. We're all going to stand equally on the same plane before God. But what rises above it all, what rises above all of that is this: are you in Christ? Look at verse number 29. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What's most important? It's not your background. It's not your race. It's not your gender. Here is the most important thing. Are you Christ? Do you belong to Jesus Christ? If you do, then you are an heir to the promise of God. Today, I could go on and on with this sermon, but here's what I want to boil it down to. The question of the day, do you belong to Jesus? I'm not asking about your background. I'm not asking about where you came from. I'm not asking about any of that. You have today, and on this day, are you Christ? Do you belong to Him? And if you do, there's no turning back to all the other things that you have lived for and longed for before. Turn away from sin and turn to Jesus. Turn away from division and turn to Jesus. And so today, we must understand it is grace that has set us free from the bondage of the law. We have an identity that is rooted in Jesus, and that should be our primary identification of our life. And we are united with other believers regardless of our background and our history, because that is why we are here. Today, church, what will you walk out this door and be identified as? What do you want to be identified as? Here's my simple prayer. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Who needs to come to that throne today and say, God, as a believer, quit letting it be about my works, checking the boxes about me, because it needs to be about you. And maybe there's someone here today that has never been clothed with Christ's righteousness. You're under the weight of your own efforts. You're trying to live this life in your own brokenness and your own unworthiness. And here's what I want you to know. Jesus came to bear the weight of that punishment and sin and step out from under that weight which puts you in bondage and step into faith in Jesus Christ today. Today, someone can become a son or daughter of God. And if you have already done that, remember, that is your true identity. The truth of the gospel is this. Jesus Christ died for us, that we could have a relationship with the holy God through His Son, Jesus. His death is the payment for our sin. His resurrection gives and promises life. Today, if you need that, don't you dare walk out of this building under the old identity of I'm just a man or I'm just a woman. Come to Jesus today and you can walk out of this room as a child of God. Today, who belongs to Christ in this room? Today, let's take it to the Lord. Father God, thank you. As we consider the question, are we yours together? I pray these moments, Lord, that you will use them for reassurance and reminding of whose we are. Lord, thank you, Lord, that every single day you remind me that I belong to you. I'm imperfect. I get it wrong. I still sin and mess up. But praise be to God, there's freedom in being a child of God through our faith in Jesus Christ. So today, Lord, I pray that you will challenge other children in the room, that we will be less about ourselves and more about you, that we will be reminded what we need to be putting on every single day. Lord, that you will give us the reminder of the hope that we have in you. For that one that needs you in these moments, God, I pray that your Spirit will work. But also, Lord, that it will be made known in their life that they need you as Savior. God, I pray that you work through our situations, that you will remove the bondage for those that are feeling under it. And you will set them free in these moments, God. We thank you for a moment that we come before you and we trust you now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.